Welcome to Cracking the Spine, episode number 99. I'm Josh.
I'm Zane.
I'm Sean. Guys, we have to take it easy with Zane tonight. She's got a bit of a headache.
She's pooped out of her butt.
Is that what we're doing? Is that what we've been doing? You guys are taking it easy on me?
Take it easy.
We have been doing. We're 5 seconds into the show.
Easy.
It's not 5 seconds into my life.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I guess.
You guys have been here for the last hour and a half.
Hey, I tried to record 2 episodes last week.
And you have not been taking it easy on me.
Take it easy. Zane's got a headache. This is probably helping because she loves the Eagles.
Welcome to the hotel. Zane's got a headache.
You can cure
such
your headache.
Such a headache place.
Such a headache place.
Such a headache place.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
Well, that's the show. I mean, hey, see you later.
That's what the listeners requested, right?
Yeah, we're going to get flagged on YouTube now because we sang it too well.
We're not on YouTube.
Oh, never mind.
We're not anywhere because...
Yay!
Issues with Podomatic are still in flux, which is to say, fucked.
Yeah.
Although, hopefully, seriously, by the time we finish recording tonight...
Yeah, right.
We will have, okay. I'm working on it!
When we're done recording, we're going to go watch the end of Return of the King and talk about what was different from the book.
No, I'll talk about that, and you'll make fun of me for noticing things.
We weren't watching Return of the King.
No, you're watching The Two Towers.
Okay.
Well, we
should have
been.
Which is totally different than the Return of the King book.
Well, we should have been.
The Two Towers movie is so different than the Return of the King book.
Nothing even happens in those two books.
I mean, the same characters are in it, kind of.
They grow a little bit, though. Some of them learn some lessons. Aragorn finally is like, fine, I'm the king. Whatever.
Spoilers.
Legolas is like, I'm Legolas all the time, but I'm friends with a dwarf.
I think it's more like, hey, I'm Legolas all the time, and I'm friends with a dwarf.
Is that the one where, that's the one where they had the drinking contest in the beginning of the movie?
Of what? The Return of the King?
Yeah. Right?
Or, drinking contest?
Yeah, they drink. It's an extended version.
Yeah.
And Legolas is like, I feel tingling in my fingers.
Is it when they get to the gates of Isengard and Merry and Pippin are like, come on in.
That's when they find the food. Like, there's a deleted scene where they find the food.
Yeah, it's when they're all, partying down.
In Horsetown.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I've seen the deleted scenes, but it's been a long time.
And Gimli is like, I'm the best at drinking.
And Aragorn's like, it has no other master.
Stop saying that, Aragorn.
But this is how I talk now.
I love axes. Have you met my axe wife?
No.
Take my axe, please.
And then Gollum shows up and he's like, how? That's tasteless, precious.
That's pretty good.
I do a pretty good Gollum. That was Zane, not me.
Zane, amazing Gollum.
Thank you.
Whoa, she's throwing a voice. Whoa!
Impressions are truly my forte.
Especially when you have a headache.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm very creative.
They're Zane's Kia forte.
And funny.
Brought to you by Kia. Kia. Cars.
Do you need one? Why not a Kia? Hey, why not? That's Kia.
You could do worse. Kia. Zane, what are you reading?
I'm so
glad we're back to the weekly format.
Yeah, we can really get into our stupid flow much easier.
I'm still reading the 5th season by N.K. Jemisin. It's still really good.
Dude, what are you, the new Josh?
Yeah,
no,
what
I'm
do
the
you
new
mean?
Sean.
Oh, damn.
Has it gotten any better?
Any better is already really good.
Has it gotten Eddie Vedder?
My God, dude.
No.
Okay.
Eddie Vedder's not in it. That's a good thing, I feel.
Yeah, for real.
What's wrong with Eddie Vedder?
There's nothing wrong with Eddie Vedder. I just don't want him in my middling fantasy novel.
Not high fantasy.
It'd be cool if he made an appearance.
It's me, Eddie Vedder.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Eddie Vedder. I've just returned from my castle.
I have a real question. Are they British?
They're from Seattle.
Okay.
Who they? Eddie Vedder's one person.
Pearl Jam.
Well, Eddie Vedder, I believe, is from Liverpool. The rest of the band is from Seattle.
Is he British?
No, I made that up.
Oh.
Just now.
I believe that. Donkey Lips.
My defenses are down.
Zane's shields are down.
Just call me Donkey Lips.
Donkey Lips is turtle from.
Oh, and I also started reading that book.
It's all the way over there.
I'm sorry, I'm pointing because I can't remember the full title of it.
It's called The Little Book of Hygge.
Hygge.
Hygge?
It's actually Hygge.
There's a pronunciation guide in the very beginning of the book. It's like on the first page, and it says Hygge.
I don't have a horse right on the cover.
Yeah. Hygge. Okay, so there you go. Hygge. Yeah. So remember that time I was right and you were wrong?
It's The Danish Secrets to Happy Living by Eddie Vedder.
Oh, okay. I know this one. Number one, live near a windmill. Number two, below sea level is great. Try living there. Number three, tulips. Do you like them?
There's a big push in like every publishing house to do Hygge books about how like the Danish live better than all of us.
Yeah, they feel better. Well, they also get like free healthcare and stuff, so that helps. Can we get that?
So how's this one working for you, Zane?
Getting too political here for you guys?
It's good. A friend of mine recommended it and lent it to me.
Josh?
Because thought that all like the Hygge type stuff that they describe sounded like things that I like. So,
like what? Example, go.
Fire in the fireplace.
Yes.
Cozy
yes.
blankets.
Blankets.
Warm beverages like tea Skyrim. Or coffee.
Fustro drogering.
Curling up, like snuggling, like under a warm blanket with a pet while there's like a storm outside.
Does the pet have to be a...
Wait, how can you control if there's a storm outside?
You can't.
No, it's...
That's the Hygge life, dude.
Yeah, Hygge is like a feeling.
Hygge, Hygge, Hygge.
It's like Schadenfreude,
there's like a list
good.
In here. Oh, I just passed it.
I should have put a bookmark in it.
There's a cake on that page. Do they tell you to eat them?
What do Danes associate with Hygge? Hot drinks, candles, fireplaces, Christmas.
Christmas.
Board games,
you
music.
You can't make Christmas. It's only one
holiday,
day.
Sweets and cake.
No, but we love Christmas.
Cooking, so, books.
No, we love
Sundays,
more than you.
Birthdays, television, stormy weather, alcohol, pets, parties, plants, computer games, sports, and like a little teeny, teeny tiny, like less than 20% associate Facebook with Hygge.
That's terrible.
That's because Facebook mine their data and put it in.
And put it in there.
Also, you like Facebook.
I do like Facebook.
I don't. It's like a.
You don't.
I kind of want to call it like a self-help book.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I never read crap like
this. It's also. I mean, don't take this the wrong
way.
I
didn't mean to call it crap. It's not really crap. It's actually kind of interesting.
It's kind of laid out, if you'll excuse me, like a bathroom book. Like it's like pick up and put down kind of a thing. Like it's not meant to be read straight through.
Yeah, you don't sit down and read.
I just mean, in terms of the way that like the book is presented.
Yeah, yeah. It's like little paragraphs and little pictures and stuff.
Like you don't have to read it straight through.
But it's kind of just about like. Just, like, how to make your life cozier.
You know what my issue with Hygge living is?
What's that?
All the fucking fish you have to eat. I hate fish.
I mean, I don't, okay.
I'm just saying, I don't like to eat fish.
Do you like fish sticks?
No.
Do you like the seafood flakes that you dip in and stuff?
No.
So anyway, that's what I'm reading.
Zane is like,
yo, she is
trashed.
Ready to be Facebook, Twitter.
Sean, what are you reading?
I'm still reading Before the Fall.
Man.
Guys, I know.
You're like me.
You're really shining it up this week.
Welcome to being me, dude. No, oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I was looking at... Zane, I can't see out of this eye, Zane. You gotta be a little over here more.
Zane put up her hand for a high five, and Daredevil over there didn't see it because he's too busy punching bad guys. So,
moving my hat. It's in the car.
So,
my Daredevil hat.
Zane's high five went unrequited. But I have not finished the book yet. Part of it is...
Is it not good?
Part of it is that I haven't given myself a lot of time to read. Part of it is that I ultimately am not really enjoying it.
I'm sorry, what is this one about?
This is the one where the plane crashes in the beginning
Pass.
Of the book. All right. There's a private plane flying from Martha's Vineyard and it crashes with a bunch
John
of people
F.
on board.
Jr.
With a lot of... there's a... Basically, like... The president of Fox News, but it's not Fox News.
It's
and the president
Wolf News.
Of a like financial company that is laundering money are killed on board.
Yeah.
And the only survivors are this like random painter guy who is invited onto the plane as like just a way to get home, and the president of Fox News' 6-year-old son.
Oh, so then he like kind of adopts the kid, sort
not
of?
Yet, because but like the kid, the way. Kid gets picked up by like the mother, the sister rather. Like it's this whole thing. Like it's supposed to be a thriller, and it's not very thrilling.
I mean, plane crashes are terrifying, so.
But like, it's not about a plane crash. It's about the aftermath of a plane crash, and like it's told in flash forward and flashback.
Oh yeah. I remember you told us that.
So it's not doing it for me.
I mean,
but I'm really excited. This is going to sound stupid, but I'm really excited this week because the James Comey book is coming out.
Yeah,
and that book was actually signed up by the publisher that I used to work for, so I've known about it for a while.
Q-Tape Publishing,
and I've been really excited for it. It's Flatiron Books.
I was at your work one day, but you refused to come see me.
I was on fucking conference calls.
That it was day. Like 9:30 in the morning, and you couldn't step away to come downstairs.
I remember what it was. You were at the dog park across from the building.
I was at the dog park across from the building.
I was in meetings, dude. Anyway.
That doesn't sound like you.
I've also been reading a lot of Twitter. Does that count?
Yeah. I read Twitter every day.
You didn't know about a lot.
I have like no time to read. This week, no time to read.
Is that the excuse we're going with?
This week, yeah, it is. Next week, it'll be a different one. I'll think of another one.
You need to read something for next week, because next week, guys, it's a big moment.
I know.
It's a big thing.
It's the 100th one.
The 100th episode.
It's
Josh's, like, 15th.
Yeah. It'll be, like, the 15th I actually read a book, if I read one.
Mm-hmm.
15 seems like a lot of books.
No, not 15 books. 15th episode, I was reading a book.
Oh, and 14 of them were Devil in the White City.
True story.
Well, if you never finish a book, you're always reading it, so. Okay.
Well, yeah, I guess. That sounds like a thing.
Yep, I just said it. It's true. Vote on the Twitter. If you think Josh is right, vote yes. If you think Sean is wrong, vote yes.
Wait, what? That seems like it would be the same. That's a leading question.
Welcome to Twitter, bro.
Damn, yo.
Didn't you learn anything about P-Tape Publishing and your meetings on social media sizing?
No, I was too busy getting your text messages. You're like, hey, come on downstairs.
I can't go up there. They'll fucking, like, search my shit.
Yeah, they will.
They're, like, crazy there. There's, like, fucking armed guards out there, dude.
Yeah, the security guard at that building.
It's crazy.
Was, like, the grumpiest.
I looked at him, and I could tell. I was like, I got a good mad.
I tried to make friends with that guy, like, a million different ways.
Not happening.
I brought him cookies one time. He was like, no, I'm good. I, like, literally brought him homemade cookies. I was like, hey, man, my wife made these for you. He goes, no, I'm good. I was like, no, they're just chocolate.
It's a security risk.
Yeah, you could have put weed in there, which is totally legal in that city.
Like, but also poison.
Why would I poison security guard at my own building?
Why would you give a security guard weed cookies? I don't know, Sean.
I wouldn't do that either.
People do crazy things.
World's a crazy place, Sean. Some people have to stand outside of a dog park waiting for you, but I pet some dogs, so it was fine, I guess. They were better than Sean. Dogs can't break your heart until they die.
And on that note,
thanks, Sam. Sam, thank you.
Good job.
Sam, thanks.
Welcome back to episode 99 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Zane.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Zane.
Thanks,
Sean.
Zane.
Good job, Zane.
Thank you, Zane.
Guys, we got some really good topics from listeners this week. And in fact, we got so many that we had to pick and choose.
Frickin'
so
tell me them.
So many.
Well, I'm going to tell you the one.
Tell me the one we're doing.
It's from Michael McDowell.
Michael McDonald.
From email.
From email.
What's the email?
I'm not going to give out his email.
Our email. Flatironing over here?
Well, I'm sorry. It's crackingthespineshow@gmail.com.
Good.
Thanks.
Oh, God. There's like a quiz later. Shit.
Thanks, Zane. All right. And it says, should I read the whole thing?
Read whatever you want.
Cool.
It'll count as your book this week.
So he mentions... Sweet. So he's referencing the conversation we had 2 weeks ago about whether or not you can do other things while reading.
Yeah.
And he says, he goes on to say, Zane's comment on needing the environment to be similar in terms of temperature, etc., between reading sessions to get back into the same book made me think of a phenomenon I experienced recently. Not me. This is Michael McDowell.
Yes, got it.
I started reading the Dune
series.
That
was last week.
That was Josh. I started reading the Dune series for the first time a few months ago, and what I noticed is that reading these books makes me thirsty.
Yeah.
The constant explicit mentioning of water conservation really makes me conscious of my own dry throat and honestly kind of adds something to the reading experience. Not sure if it's enough of a topic to make a show out of. Let us be the judge of that. But have any of you ever had a book give you a physical sensation like that, or am I just crazy? I'd love to hear what you think.
Lots of things do that to me. Not just books, but most recently.
Well, the question was book. The question was about books.
Lots of things do that to me, but recently.
Was it porn?
When I read A Name of the Wind, a lot of the smells that I imagine and him being in the inn and the beer, it's always alcohol or cigarettes. Oops. If I read someone, anything with, well, I smoke cigarettes, so the addiction is still in my brain. So when
That's why you look so cool.
Thank you. Finally, somebody fucking noticed, Zane.
Damn, dude.
I know, right? So, you're light up here.
What's your brand?
I went through many different brands.
Okay.
You're going to make fun of all of
them.
The
Camel Crushes where it has
never,
the little...
I didn't do that. That was like...
What's that, the non-filter?
No, no. They can be menthol if you want. It has like a little pearl in the filter that you can crush.
Yeah.
What?
And then it like releases the menthol.
It just gives you some like super cancer. It's like, it breathes in this menthol somehow.
There's some fiberglass in your filter.
Fuck it. I smoked American Spirits, Camel Lights, and Parliaments.
Right.
Because I was an old lady.
I smoked Marlboro Lights, and then Marlboro Reds, and then Pall Mall Non-Filters.
Damn, dude. You're like a cowboy.
Well, Pall Mall Non-Filters was kind of a, it was like a financial decision.
It's the cheapest one.
Yeah, it's the cheap one. Yeah.
But also, like, it was a college. I was in college, and if you were at a party and you were smoking a cigarette, and someone would see you smoking, they'd be like, hey, can I bum a smoke?
Yeah.
And then if you said to them, sorry, all I have is non-filtered, they'd find somebody else.
Yeah, I smoked a pack of non-filtered cigarettes one time, and I was like, oh, I'm dying. I was like, I'm going to die from this. It was crazy.
I had pneumonia when I was in college, and I actually had to walk to the hospital to get a chest x-ray. It was like a three-quarter of a mile walk, and I smoked like three Pall Malls on the way.
Ew.
Good idea.
You know, I didn't know I had pneumonia at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, I was coughing up blood, but, you know.
That could have been from the Marble Reds.
No, it was the Pall Malls.
Oh, God, I kicked somebody. Shit. It
wasn't me.
It was the table.
Anyway, go ahead. You were talking about...
Yeah, so anytime Kvothe... Kvothe the Raven. Anytime he goes to the plays lute in the inn and there's beer, and he talks about some of the drinks that they get and stuff. Like some of the different drinks. Yeah, I'm always like, maybe I should drink right now. Maybe right now I'll just drink a lot of alcohol.
That's funny because those same scenes, like the scenes when Kvothe would play in the, like when he would play the music in the inns and like describe how. Like, the room would go along with him.
Yeah.
I would feel the same kind... Like, not, like, I didn't want to drink or a smoke.
Right.
But, like when the room got quiet, like, my heart rate and my breathing would slow down when I was reading that. And then, like, as he's, like...
Yeah, it gets
like,
excited.
As the music's building, like, my own reaction physically in answer to the question is, like, also increasing. I think that's how I react more to books than...
That's interesting.
Like the smell of food or the like, it's not so sensory for me.
Yeah.
It's much more visceral.
Okay.
Like horror novels do it for me all day long. Like saying like Paul Tremblay books.
Mm-hmm.
Like I find myself
in Tremblaying
reading horror novels. Like I have, like I can mm-hmm. break out in cold sweats.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
I can get legit like.
Afraid
of the dark. Afraid of noises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Headache Jones?
That's Zane.
They know.
Do they?
I did this thing after I read The Name of the Wind and Wise Man's Fear where I got really obsessed with his descriptions of food.
Yes.
And he talks a lot about like hearty brown bread.
Oh yeah, you
dip like it slathered in with butter, and I would like got obsessed with this idea of like a hearty, like filling brown bread, and I like I fucking baked a loaf of brown bread. Nice. Like I found,
I was gonna say, did you look up a recipe?
I did. Yeah. I found a recipe that like mimicked what I imagined that bread That's to awesome. Be like, and I made it, and it was really satisfying. But like it gets, I generally like in books when they describe food. And I found in that book like it was really effective, but it made me really hungry.
I like it when they describe fire. Like I can smell the fire and like a fire stove. Yeah,
I can feel that.
I love, because like some of my like really fond memories are being like next to fires at various points in my life, and just like being outside, and it's like your Huggoda book, Zane. Your Huggle book. Your Huggle Bunny. Hufflepuff.
Hookah.
Hookah book.
My hookah book.
It's like your hookah book, where like it just triggers that shit in my brain, and I just want like that comforting warmth of like a fire or a strong alcohol or smoke in my lungs.
Dude, honestly, like the only reactions I have to descriptions of food are in nonfiction books, and I'm thinking of, again, not to beat a dead horse, and I think you read this part,
Josh, dead horse food
of The Devil in the White City,
mm-hmm.
when they would describe the menus of the dinners they would put together.
I'm obsessed with vintage menus.
Yeah.
Those men, I mean, for the...
That was so like, interesting. Yes, I do remember.
There's like 50 courses with like every meat, but like looking, of every animal.
Looking at like what the style of food was then and shit, like what passed as like the height of like culinary... Fanciness,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, that was really interesting.
And I'm not going to front, like, not to be that guy, not to be perverted, but, like, a well-written love scene, a well-written
romance scene. Yeah, reading, because you're imagining it.
Like, you like, fucking pervert.
Well, okay.
You fucker of perverts.
Like, I remember distinctly, it was the first book that I ever read that I wasn't required to read.
Does it make out with somebody?
No, there's a scene in it where...
it makes out with Lady It.
The girl... Who's the girl that hangs out with him? What's her name?
Bev.
Thank you.
Bev.
Where Bev sleeps with Ben, I think it is.
That means a field of beavers.
Bev sleeps with
everyone. Yeah.
But the first sex scene that she has, like, I think it's with Ben. No?
It's with everyone.
It's an orgy?
No, the first one.
No, it's with everyone, and then
they have to concentrate, right?
She like then like because she has sex with everyone, and then she has sex with Ben, and sex with Ben is like a thing.
No,
and it's like special.
I might be remembering. Maybe it's someone else's first sex scene in that book.
It's.
But there's the way that King describes it to my very young, inexperienced in any regard.
Virginal loins, I would say.
It was like, it was fucking hot. Like, it was like, my God, like, I'm reading words about people having sex.
Well, that's why, like, all these repressed moms, like, love all, like, those, like, shitty fucking...
Oh, the 50 Shades of Grey, because they're all, like the bodice rippers.
It reads, when you read it, you're like, picturing what you think is sexy. It's a mirror. It's just a mirror. And, like, you're like, oh, well, that's what I like. Well,
It's just porn. It's just porn for women.
Right. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not.
So they can have it.
I think it's great. I think I agree with you. I think that they should read more porn and just be like, oh, I just read porn.
Yeah, but there's a stigma behind, you know, women consuming porn, so they have to consume it in more creative ways.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I have no problem with 50 Shades of Grey because it's just porn, and it pushes those same buttons. It's just that it appeals to women, so people don't like it.
I mean, I read some of it.
You read some of 50 Shades of Grey?
I did.
Is that right?
Yeah, I read a little bit of it.
All right. And what'd you think?
It didn't really do it for me. I'm not really into, like, the tying up and stuff, so... But that's...
You're not judging, though.
No, I mean, like, I get it. I understand. I understand lots of, like, fetishized sexual things.
Yeah, we know.
Ouch. Yeah, but they don't know.
They know.
Do they?
We all know.
That's one of my fetishes. Everybody knowing.
All we're just feeding into it. One of the things I, like, struggle with reading about is anytime that a character has to, like, be underwater for a long time, or, like, if they're being choked and they can't breathe. Mm-hmm. I get weird about stuff like that, about, like, dude. I'm not claustrophobic, but, like, the idea of my oxygen being cut off or, like, being limited
you get is... You get breath, yeah.
I get freaked out about it, and in scenes where, like, they're in space and they can't breathe, or they're underwater and they can't get up to the top. Like,
I don't like that.
I will get short of breath, and I'm like, like, I feel like I can't get air into my lungs, and I will, like, speed read through those sections because I'm like, when can they breathe again? Like, I need to get to the breathing part because it affects me very viscerally.
Siri, skip to the breathing part.
That sounds great.
Okay, Zane.
Similarly, I have trouble reading about people throwing up.
Oh, really?
I was actually—that's where I was going to go originally.
Your description, honestly, of, like, I can feel that tightness in my jaw.
I was going to say that more to the point. Mouth. Your description of, like, the smells of cigarettes and of alcohol. When someone throws up in a book, I can smell it.
Really, it does bother me. Throw up doesn't bother me.
The smell of vomit is so, like, it's like a hair trigger for me. Like, it's
yeah,
just
you're ready
right
to go,
there.
Right?
Like, yeah, like, because I'm the kind of guy, like, when I'm sick, if I puke,
you're
that's it. Like, it's
puker.
Over. Yeah, well, I'm a sympathy puker.
Oh,
but also,
I can just make myself throw up just by, like, sitting in front of the toilet.
Yeah, so can I. But, like, if I'm legit sick, if I throw up, I feel better. So it's easy and cathartic for me to puke from time to time. So, like, I'm a... not just a sympathy puker, but, like, sympathetic ear to the vomiting literary character.
My cousin threw up on my head when I was 2. I remember it.
He threw up in your head?
It was a girl. She did.
On his head.
No. Bleh. Like
they call
like,
my dad.
Lobotomize you?
Yeah,
and...
fucking fuck me up.
What?
I was freaked out. I got puked on, man.
Yeah, that happens. If you get puked on when you're 2, it messes you up a little.
Not Josh. Shouldn't have happened to me.
Didn't they know who you were?
I'm internet celebrity Josh Henderson.
I'm going to be somebody someday.
I'm Josh Henderson, I'm aviator.
I had fucking tissue boxes on my feet.
Mm-hmm. Jars of pee all over the room.
Ugh, you wouldn't smell that. Ugh. Yeah. That brown pee smell. Ugh.
Ew.
Moving on.
How?
I mean, I'm more how? I'm more susceptible to visual stimuli, like visually, like Mad Men. I want to smoke all the cigarettes when I watch Mad Men.
Like Alfred.
I
want to
drink
Mad
all
Magazine?
Of the brown liquor
yes,
when I watch
that. That is also
it's like,
true.
Man, that looks so refreshing.
Also,
how do they make it look refreshing? I know that it's not.
It's
refreshing.
Iced tea.
It tastes like pain. It tastes like burning
dude,
inside of
like,
me.
It's like, well, they're drinking at noon. Maybe I could drink at noon.
I also find. I mean, it's funny you should say that. Like being visual, I don't. Since we're sticking to reading. Graphic novels, I don't have the same kind of visceral reaction to reading a graphic novel as I would to reading, like, a straight novel.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that someone actually draws it out, like, literally draws the picture of someone vomiting or of a fancy menu or of drowning, like, doesn't get me as much as reading. Like, I need my imagination to provide the pictures.
I find, I'm not great at reading graphic novels because the way that I read is I read, like, very voraciously, and you can't consume a graphic novel
that way.
Yeah,
you have to stop.
Like, you have to, you have to take in every page and, like, sit with it and look at it and appreciate the art and appreciate the nuance of it. And I want to just, like, turn pages.
We've
and it's,
totally talked about this before.
Absolutely,
I'm the worst reader of graphic novels.
And I have to stop myself and say, like, slow down. Like, look at this picture. Appreciate the details and the drawings and the illustrations and what
that
brings
shit.
To it. It's, but it, like, I have to switch gears, and I struggle with that.
Yeah. You read Kick-Ass at my house on New Year's Eve because you were bored.
I was bored then.
What was that?
You were watching the TV.
No, I wasn't. I was looking at Josh grabbing his phone.
No, you were watching.
I was totally watching.
Why are you looking at me?
No, actually, I was looking out the window, and then I looked at Josh's phone.
Why are you?
She snapped her fingers in my face and gave me the
she did
two
the...
fingers pointing at her
look
eye.
At me.
Like, yo, I'm over. Eyes are up here, bro.
Look at me.
So I was watching TV because we're watching.
I was not watching the TV. I swear to God.
The Lord of the Rings is on.
I was not watching. That is not what you caught me doing. I was looking at Josh, looking at his phone, and I looked out the window.
Well,
okay.
Look like you were looking at.
Jesus Christ.
All
we
right.
Gotta switch seats one of these nights, Josh.
We can. We've been doing this for 100 episodes.
Not yet.
We've been doing this for...
You've only been doing it for like 15 episodes.
Like
that's well established.
14.
I take that as a compliment that you guys aren't sick of me yet.
I'm not sure if that's what Zane said.
I'm never sick of
me. Hey, Zane's my good friend, Zane.
I also am on board with that.
Yep. Just don't fire me again.
No, it's not this guy.
Oh, that wasn't you that did it?
Yeah, different guy. Different guy.
Oh, right, you're right. I forgot all about that.
What about, like, I guess...
God, shut up, Zane! No, bad.
I was going to say, like, have you ever read a book and had it made you feel like make you feel happy?
Yes.
And then I kind of stopped myself because I don't read a lot of books
that are happy,
like,
yeah.
That have, like, prolonged happy moments. They have prolonged tension, which, like, fair enough, it's a story.
I don't know if we've ever talked, I don't think we've talked about this book on this show, and I don't know what happened to this author. I really wish he would write a follow-up, or if he did, I wish I could find it. The book is called Green Grass Grace, and he's a Philadelphia-based author. I'm going to look it up as we're talking.
Go Birds!
And it's basically about growing up in, like, Northeast Philadelphia in, like, the mid-80s.
Kind of like how you did.
Kind of.
So it's your Ready Player One.
I thought his name was, that's right, his name is Sean McBride.
Then the Philly Fanatic said,
Go
hey,
Birds.
Rocky, hope the Eagles win
Go
the bowl.
Birds.
Go Birds!
Oh my God, that book was from 2003. Jesus.
Man, you're old.
What was it like to be alive then, Grandpa?
It was an easier time. It was an easier time. You didn't have a bunch of shithead little kids asking you stupid questions all the time.
He's talking about us.
I think he's talking about his kids.
I'm talking about everybody. By the author's name, it's called Green Grass Grace. And the author's name is Sean, spelled incorrectly, McBride.
Whoa.
I'm just saying.
With a U or a W?
S-H-A-W-N.
And it's one of those coming of age stories that happens to be set in Philly. And the whole time you're reading it, it's like, God, this is all going so well, but there's like some sinister underpinnings to everything that's going on.
That's Philly.
And then you're like, yo, you're just waiting for that other shoe to drop. Like it's gonna happen. Like it's about this kid, his name is Hank Toohey, and he's like, growing up and figuring shit out, and he's in love with the little girl that lives across the street. Her name is Grace. And like Grace falls in with
Grace,
like, Grace ends up like with the wrong guy, and like he's the mean bully kind of dude.
He drives a Trans Am with T-tops.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like Dan does.
And like the whole time you're like, yo, somebody's gonna get shot, or somebody's gonna get beat up, or blah 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 blah. And then like, not to spoil a 15-year-old book, but like the end of it is like just super joy. Like the whole, like you realize the whole book is like, hey, sometimes childhood can be okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes we come out of it okay and we feel okay. Mm. And it was like,
Yeah.
Like it was like, and it like, I think it was because I had read so many those kinds of books before it that I was like, I was putting my own prism or lens on it.
Right.
Like it wasn't that the book was like, so sinister. I was just like, it was like, nah, it's a bad analogy. Nobody's going to get it. Never mind.
Well, you read it when you were like six, so.
Yes, same analogy.
I'm sorry. I have a crazy migraine and it is making me so stupid and I could not remember the word analogy earlier.
Wait, you didn't say analogy?
An hour and 15 minutes
ago. He said metaphor and simile. That's right. He said simile.
sorry.
It's okay. It's all right.
I'm dumb. It's the headache, and also I'm a little dumb, but mostly it's the headache.
All right, no, I'll make the analogy now since it's come up. So for a long time, I worked shift work, and they used to run that show ER.
Yeah, with George Clooney.
Yeah, and Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
And like, everything that happened on ER was...
And Noah Wiley.
Awful, yeah.
Like, it was like...
This guy has AIDS now. Right. And you're like, what the fuck?
I was like, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And then, like, 15 minutes later, he shoots you.
Yeah.
So, I would watch... There was two... It was on TNT.
I remember that one.
Two episodes of ER were on every morning.
Uh-huh.
And I worked night, so I would watch every day I'd watch two episodes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So then... My wife got into Gilmore Girls.
The Gilmore Geese, as I call it.
Like, we moved right from ER to Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
And I would, like, watch Gilmore Girls, like, episodes and be like...
La, la, la.
Like when there was... Like, anytime there would be tension in Gilmore Girls...
Yeah.
I'd be like, yo, that guy's gonna get shot.
No, they don't, like, get shot in Stars Hollow.
That guy's gonna get stabbed with AIDS needles.
The worst thing is, like, Dean goes away. And you're
that's
like,
the best thing that happens is like, Dean
that's
goes away.
Like, analogous to, like, reading Stephen King to reading right. Greengrass Grass is going yeah. from yeah. ER to, anyway.
I get
analogies.
You.
Analogy.
It's an analogy.
If you read yeah, more books, know. You'd know. That's what you said to me last week. I didn't keep it inside. Hatefully.
But you deserved it.
Vengefully.
Dumb.
Duh.
Jeez, you guys. You're making the listeners uncomfortable.
They love it. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Josh. I was just looking at the left. I was producing for 1 second, you guys.
Oh, Josh is working.
I was producing.
I also like to remember the time because I like to know where I like to. Look. Shut up. Leave me alone.
So,
Headache Jones, shut up. You guy, shut up.
I'm not a new guy. I've been on the show forever.
You
time.
Guy.
All right.
You guy.
Hey, new guy. Scott.
Hey, Scott.
No.
So,
I don't know where that came from.
Yes. To.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Answer Michael's question.
Yes. We have had visceral reactions.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That water one really sucks, though, because being thirsty is horrible.
But it's so cool, though,
that it works that way.
Like,
yeah.
you can be affected by a novel
yeah.
or a book in that way.
Yeah, it's
like,
such an intimate thing, like,
yeah.
between you and the author,
and, like,
and the author
saying,
doesn't even know he did it to you.
Like you were saying, Sean, like, especially when you read, it's happening in your head,
yeah.
and it's an intimate experience, and so then to, like, feel it that way, like, all through your body.
Well,
Zane,
the brain is the biggest boner zone.
It's one of those things where it's like...
You're a boner zone.
It's so impactful. It's the most impactful when you realize only after it happened that it happened. Like, if you're thinking to yourself,
yeah.
like, oh, God, I'm thirsty as I'm reading Dune, like, that takes you out of
you're
it.
Not, you're
it's
not...
It's only when you
yeah.
put the book away and be like, God damn, why am I... Why
that's
am I so fucking thirsty?
They're empathy conduits.
Where did this giant
they're
thirst boner
conduits.
Come from?
What was that effect that we were talking about last week?
Dunning-Kruger
the
effect.
The Dunning-Kruger effect.
The Coriolis effect.
The Coriolis
effect. When you flush
effect.
The toilet, it goes clockwise.
Where, like, things, like, you start seeing things pop up.
Josh,
everywhere.
It wasn't the Dunning-Kruger.
It wasn't
it was the
Diane-Kruger effect.
The Diane Lane effect, which is when you see Diane Lane in the movie, you say, yo...
Yeah, where'd that push?
But that happens to me a lot when I read books.
Yeah.
Like, those themes start to
appear
in places. Like,
yes,
like
absolutely.
When I started reading the N.K. Jemisin book and,
yeah.
you know, a rift appears in the earth and then that actually happened in real life.
Well, you're the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
That's how Neal Stephenson fucking moves through the world.
But
yeah.
then, like, there's other, I don't know, like, it's just, it starts to, like, affect my worldview while I'm reading
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's
like,
an empathy conduit. I just said
when
that.
I was reading...
We weren't listening.
Shut up, Josh. Jesus Christ.
Okay, I'll go back to my corner.
Do people care what you say now?
Smell pizza in my brain.
When I was reading The Name of the Wind, this is a weird story, but I was taking care of a friend's horse, and...
I hope the microphone got that. I'm leaving that in. That's staying in.
He said The Name of the Wind.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway.
Sean farted.
I did not fart.
We've done almost 100 episodes and it's the first fart on the podcast.
Lauren used to fart all the time, you guys.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Well.
She's like the king of it. We used to call her King Fart Lauren.
Same.
Go back and listen to the archives. You'll see.
We also have a live studio audience. Dan's over there laughing.
Anyway, you were talking about farts.
No, you were taking care. You were taking care of a friend's horse.
No, and when, no, no, no.
I know what you're gonna say. And when he goes to get a horse, right? You were like,
no.
Okay.
No, come on.
I was taking care of a friend's horse who was he was on stall rest for like 6 months, which means
I'm
that
going
they're
to
not
nod and say
they're not allowed
is.
To go out of their okay. stall because he was laid up. He was injured.
Oh.
Horses get real nutty when they get confined like that. They get real crazy. And she was away and I was taking care of him. And one of the things I had to do is I had to take him out of his stall and hand walk him. So like, cause if we let him go out by himself, he'd go crazy, like running around and hurt himself more. Anyway, so
stupid horse.
Leading this horse around, he was like, he would overreact to things and he'd basically like go straight up in the air and he'd drag me around.
Jesus Christ, Zane.
Was this horse's name Dan?
His name was Oscar, and he's the best baby. He's such a good boy.
Oscar?
Is that like a good boy?
He's a good boy. He was hurt. He didn't know. But anyway, I was reading The Name of the Wind, and he kept talking about going down into the heart of stone.
The horse talked about that?
No.
Wait, what is this part?
Patrick Rothfuss, when he talks about, like, when he does... The sympathy stuff, you have to detach yourself so that you can use all different parts of your
Obi-Wan.
Brain and everything. And so Oof. they call it Heart of Stone, where you can like, it's like, he describes it as dispassionate calm.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking about that while I was working with Oscar, because when horses overreact, the worst thing that you can do is like contribute to
right.
it and be like, what are you doing? Like, that doesn't help. Like, you have to be very detached and just kind of like, hey, knock it off.
Like,
kind of like
dealing with Zane with a
headache. Affected. And I kept thinking about like heart of stone, like that phrase
like
kept ringing around in my head. And it was just weird. Like, I find those weird parallels. Like, whenever I read a book and I get involved in that world, those things and those themes start popping up everywhere and you see them everywhere. I don't know. Like, I get very affected. Like, it colors the world around me when I'm reading a book, especially a really immersive book
like those books.
What I was going to say
Patrick
is, like,
Rothfuss books.
Not to prolong the agony of this episode, but...
the agony?
I mean, not to belabor the point, but that, like, you know, I talked for a couple of weeks about how I haven't been able to finish this book that I've been reading.
Yeah.
But previous to this, I've read a lot of books in a lot of time.
Yeah, we know.
In a short amount of time. And I think that, like, there's something to finding that book that really hooks you in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, recent example would be Baby Teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And Baby Teeth will fuck you up with kids.
Did that hook you in?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Didn't get you like that?
Didn't, no.
Okay. And doesn't have kids.
Well, that's fair.
Maybe it's
maybe
like
you really want to not have kids.
Right. I met your husband. I wouldn't want to have kids either.
Whoa.
I met your husband. I would want to have kids with him.
Okay.
Adopted. Little Dan and little Josh.
There's that
Junior.
There's that thing of when you're really into the world of, like you were saying, Zane, like when the novelist has got his hooks in you, or her hooks, just saying.
Yes, yeah.
That, like, it does affect your thinking.
Well, you're, like, training your brain. It's like exercise, right?
Yeah.
So your brain is just, like,
it's like
pathways are burning.
And then your brain, like, recognizes patterns out in the world.
You just take it with you. Like, you carry it with you
it's
while
magic.
You're...
It's real life magic.
While you're, like, if you're in the middle of the book... You're in the middle of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it goes with you. It becomes a part of your vision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's pretty cool, those books.
Yes.
Maybe I should start reading more.
Save that
them.
One for next week, Zane.
Oh,
I think that's a pretty good conclusion for the 100th episode, is that pretty cool, those books.
They should keep having been inventing them.
One night now, and it was my bone. There it goes. In a heart of stone. It's in my head now.
A heart of glass?
Yeah, Blondie. She said heart of stone.
Mm.
And also, you've been talking about your bone. Bone, stone. They rhyme.
All right, let's take a break.
Cool. Let's do it. Welcome back. to the final segment of episode 99, Cracking the Spine. Sean.
I'm Zane.
I'm Josh.
We haven't mentioned that this is the Jerome Brown episode.
Who's that?
He died.
He killed himself and his nephew in a car crash.
He didn't really kill himself. I mean, I guess he did, but...
Who killed him?
He got himself
The manufacturers
killed?
Yes. of the Porsche in which he was speeding with his nephew killed
so
him.
So I have his autograph from like 2 months before he died because the Eagles sent me a get well package when I was little.
Were you cancer boy?
I wasn't, but
you had pneumonia, right?
Yeah, I knew the trainer, the assistant trainer of the Eagles, David Price.
Okay.
And my family knew them. So, like, I was in church.
Wait, David Price from the guy that played the inventor in Edward Scissorhands?
Yeah, that's the exact one that I'm talking about. He also was...
The funk of 40,000 years.
That's Vincent Price.
Oh, right.
I thought that was the joke. I thought that was the point of his joke. Totally, I didn't realize he actually forgot.
Totally the joke. No, that was absolutely... I was doing the
David, Vincent. They have bees in it.
Henry...
Jerome Brown, you are totally fine to drive.
Bob Price.
Don't kill your nephew today.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so that happened. I was really sad when he died.
What did they autograph for you?
I went to church on Christmas Eve because I was forced to.
What denomination?
Lutheran, which is basically like, hey, whatever, fuck it. And I brought my football cards with me because I hate church because it sucks. And they were there. His family was there. And he was like, oh, you like the Eagles? And I was like, fuck yeah, I like the Eagles, dude.
Demon, I cash you out!
And, like, I didn't know who he was. Like, I didn't know who this guy was. Like, and, like, he's like, well, give me that card. And I could see what I can do. And my mom was like, he's the trainer of the Eagles.
Nice.
And I was like, what? And, like, so, like, they sent it back to me, autographed by Randall Cunningham. And they sent me a letter that was, like, a get-well letter signed by Randall Cunningham. And Jerome Brown sent me a headshot thing.
Do you still have it?
Yeah, it's, like, in a frame next to my desk.
Nice.
So I was really sad when he died.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Anyway.
The Eagles also didn't win a Super Bowl. Until...
They just did.
Recently!
Go Birds!
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Facebook!
No, wait. Thank you to Michael McDowell for sending in that email with a really great topic.
To be sure. Yeah, and thank you, Michael McDonald, for... all your work with the Doobie Brothers.
And thank you for inventing McDonald's. I can get cheeseburgers. There.
Thank you for being a friend.
And
thank you for being a crank.
Huge props and shout out to friend of the show, Paul Tremblay.
Oh yeah,
whose Cabin at the End of the World was just optioned for a movie today.
Yo, Paul Tremblay, you're gonna get rich.
Now,
Did you also see that Joe Hill's Nosferatu?
I did see that because you tweeted it and added us.
I think the answer is yes.
Nosferatu.
I absolutely did like it.
Okay.
I'll show you.
He only creeps on Twitter as Cracking the Spine. He doesn't have his own thing.
I don't have a personal Twitter.
I know that.
Yeah, she knows.
I don't agree with it.
You don't have to agree with it.
But
I'm doing it for you.
I'm excited. It's gonna be.
Yeah, it could be
a TV show, and I'm excited.
Although, man, it's all about casting.
Yeah, it
because
is.
Because if you don't get the right guy, I can't remember the character's name, but
Charlie Manx.
Thank you. Thank you. Perfectly done. If you do not get the right Charlie Manx, and if you don't get the right, what's her name?
Vic McQueen.
Dude, did you just read it today?
Zane's got good memory.
She's got a book full of notes in front of her that she flips through.
What's her name's got a good memory?
Who? Jill?
Dane something.
Oh, Dane
Cook. Remember him? Anyway, 2006.
I scream in comedy! Sorry, I'm sorry. Dane has a headache. That was my Dane Cook impression.
Is Dane here? No, he's not.
But anyway, so yeah. Friend of the show, Paul Tremblay. Way to go.
Yeah, great work.
Oh, also, he's, like, his book's all over, like, a million lists, and...
It's not out yet.
No, I know. Also...
It's doing really well, considering it's not out yet.
Also, friend of the show, Zoya Stage, her book has been getting all kinds of publicity.
That's good.
Like, starred reviews.
So what I hear you saying is that we here at Cracking the Spine are
kingmakers.
Taste makers.
Kingmakers. I think okay. Kingmakers is the way to go with it. Yeah. Mm. I think. I mean, I've been saying that for 99 episodes, but you guys and farty ass Lauren.
Doesn't Lauren still listen to the show?
I hope so. She would love this. I mean, if she could hear it past all of the
cacophonous
disgusting gas like coming out of her butt. Her vegan butt in Colorado. That part's true. She does live in Colorado and she's a vegan.
Weed.
And vegans fart a lot.
How do they? I don't know.
It's their bodies rejecting their stupid decisions.
Oh my god.
Their sinful
life.
Shut
up and get to whatever point you're trying to make.
Facebook.
Twitter. Reddit. Go to it and talk to us.
Yeah, and also, I said Twitter,
email,
Facebook,
Twitter, email. That's
email,
the one.
That's the other thing. Stitcher.
Who has the headache now, sir?
Instagram.
Now who's the dean? No, we don't have an Instagram yet.
We
don't have an Instagram. What would we put on it? Pictures of books.
Books.
My farts.
Let's just take random pictures of books. Here's a book.
I don't understand Instagram stories. You guys, can we talk about that later?
I'm making it tonight.
Here's another book. It's just that for like every day. Yeah.
I don't understand Instagram stories.
I don't know. They're like it's Snapchat.
It's like a Snapchat.
Yeah. I don't have that.
Okay, old man.
I know what I am. Now does Facebook talk to Snapchat?
We'll get you some Melba toast later, sweetheart.
Oh, Melba toast.
You're an old man.
I just didn't hear what you said because you mumbled.
Hmm.
You were like, because
you're an old man.
You're a deaf old man.
I am deaf. Like Kid and Play.
I'm
the deafest brother
man
on the block.
If you wanted to prove how not old you were, referencing Kid and Play is not the way to do it.
I wasn't trying to prove. I know how old I am.
106.
32.
Damn, dude, you're old.
Yeah, I know.
Considering I'm only 29.
And
Zane's
like
14.
Oh, that you high five over?
Yeah.
Because we can dunk on you because you're small. All
right, I'm done. Good night.
Triple double.
Check them out. Books. Check them out. At your library.